Welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada, and joining me, the one, the only Austin Tark. Austin, no James today, which is probably a bummer for the listeners' wallets, but you know what?
Hey, we'll pick up the slack.
Yeah, we are picking we up don't the need slack them. This weekend. I'm pumped. Playoff week. That was one of my favorite weekends of NFL football. I mean, I think part of it's to do with like a lot, so much just went my way, but I feel like it was just great competitive games all day. We got a bunch of overtimes that, and then to cap it all off, a super competitive game with a huge comeback Sunday night and all of like the funny business that could have and should have gone on late in that game for Chargers Raiders. That was just awesome. Any big takeaways?
Well, it's disappointing. I mean, it's funny. This season flew. I mean, I can't believe we're in the playoffs right now. And it just like the fact that we're looking at these board of games and the Jets and the Jags are not on here. It's a little disappointing, but at the same time, like this is awesome. We were talking before the call, how we still have no idea who's going to be in the Super Bowl when normally on a yearly basis, you can at least have one team that you're pretty certain is going to be there. And this year we really don't know, which just is going to make this so much more fun. We're certainly disappointed that Big Ben is going to be on our screen on Sunday Night Football. I don't know how Justin Herbert didn't get in. Jonathan Taylor, when we were certainly had our Colts hopes throughout the year. But you know what? That week 18, the Colts do not deserve to be in the playoffs after that Jags loss. And the Chargers will charger. So congrats to the Steelers for making it.
Do you want to have the analytics conversation or no? I feel like that's just been beaten down and we don't have
about the Staley decision to go for it on their own 15.
Yeah.
I mean, end of the day, you trust your gut, you trust with what has worked all season. And we live in a hindsight world and
that's true.
In hindsight, it was an awful decision.
Sometimes you got to just use your hindsight.
In that moment, they just had a 3-and-out. Did they want a second 3-and-out? They were losing momentum. They certainly lost momentum after not getting it. I don't know. I end of the day, I thought it wasn't the worst decision in the world. Cause I felt like that's just what Staley does. It's not like it was a panic button. That's just kind of who Staley is and he goes for it there.
My only thing I'm going to say is I think that far more blame should be placed on execution and play calling than like the decision itself. Agreed. And they were down 2 scores at that point. You got to start taking chances at some point. And that's just, I feel like a little earlier than for some people's taste, but I mean, like Cliff Kingsbury did the same thing where he went for it on 4th and 1, I think on the 30 or 4th and 2 on his own 30 and he got it. So, oh no.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Should we just get right on into games?
Before we do that, I have one future bet that I've also added after sure. last week's games. I added the Niners at 21 to 1 to win the Super Bowl.
Very nice.
I thought their win last week against the Rams was incredible. From a subjective angle, from a narrative standpoint, I just feel like that's the type of win that just like gives the team so much confidence and just propels them to make a run. But then from an objective point of view, like they're healthiest they've been all season. They also just added a couple corners that they were missing last week. Jimmy G and George Kittle, they are 5th in EPA per play when they're both on the field. And finally, if you look at the NFC, the team to beat is the Packers. And if the Niners get past the Cowboys this week, which as a 3-point underdog, you don't hate their odds. They certainly match up decently well against a Dallas team that doesn't defend the run that well. But if they win this game, they're off to Lambeau. And they're the exact team that I think can beat Green Bay, considering how much we've seen Green Bay struggle against the run. And how that sets up the entire Niners offense. I think they're definitely have the potential to beat Green Bay. And then if they win that, then you have your hedge opportunity if they're in the NFC Championship. I just think 21 to 1 is a pretty good value. It's the same team that's 2 years removed from the Super Bowl, and they still have all the pieces. They still have Shanahan. I think they're really growing on me.
Yeah. No, I'm with you fully. As a guy hanging on to a Cowboys, I think 11 to 1 ticket to win the Super Bowl. I don't love the matchup. And I mean, we've seen the Niners just kick the absolute shit out of the Packers in the playoffs. And, you know, you could probably argue they had better teams those years, but I certainly believe they will be very live as an underdog. in that matchup. So yeah, like
they
that.
They also almost beat him earlier in the season. Probably should have beat him.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers went into superhero mode at the end of that. And Mason Crosby, don't know how, but he hit a kick. Let's get into games.
Do it.
Saturday, 1:30 Pacific. Raiders off the long, very long Sunday night overtime game. Currently getting 5.5, with a total at 49. They're taking on the Bengals, who are at home. The Bengals sat a bunch of players last week. Burrow didn't play. I don't think Ja'Marr Chase didn't play. I'll start here. I love this under. I had bet the over in their first matchup where the Bengals kind of beat up on the Raiders. There was like some like late garbage time scoring at the end of the game. But this was like in the midst of the Raiders kind of adjusting to life without Ruggs. This was in the wake of Gruden, a bunch of different stuff. And it was just like the most vanilla game planning on earth. And I think that we're going to get more of this due to Zach Taylor. It was like the Raiders were able to stuff the run a bunch, and then the Bengals were able to just convert on third downs because of Joe Burrow. And it kind of like the clock was always running, and but like the Bengals were always in third and long, and Joe Burrow was just making magic happen. Now that stuff isn't sustainable, especially I think in a rematch. On the other side, I think that Derek Carr is statistically very bad in cold weather games. I believe he's 0-5 total. But just scoring outputs way lower. So that's the other thing. Now just kind of getting into like the schematics of it all. The Bengals offensive line is not good. I think the Raiders have an outstanding defensive line, and we just saw them just kick the absolute shit out of what is a pretty solid Chargers offensive line. Like, they have good pieces. And I mean, they had the dream matchup of Max Crosby on the Chargers' worst offensive lineman, but that's going to happen again in this Bengals game. He should be able to get a lot of pressure. He should be, if they start to double team him, it should open up way more lanes for all the other Raiders D linemen. And I just think that we're going to see a lot of punts, a lot of conservative game calling, especially with an interim coach and Zach Taylor. And I think it'll be get to the 40 punt, get to the 40 punt, and more of that. So, curious what your thoughts are. You like the Raiders. And I also like the Raiders. I bet a +6.
Yeah, I like the Raiders. I also like your under angle. The one thing you didn't mention, which I think plays into the spread as well, this is both quarterbacks' first playoff game. And I understand Derek Carr is very experienced and Joe Burrow's Big Dick Burrow. He obviously is a winner. But it's still like it's a trend, of a historical NFL trend, that QBs in their first playoff game struggle. So that, I think, goes a little bit into this game where – I don't understand how a quarterback in his first start could be a 6-point favorite. We'll say 5.5. I think I like 5.5. I'd prefer if I get a 6. When this Bengals team has just been so inconsistent all year long, they'll have their stretches where they're winning tremendous games, then they'll fall off a little bit. And then, as Chaz mentioned, I mean, if you watch that Chargers game, I mean, that defensive line, Crosby, it is a real advantage for this Raiders team, and they're going to have their way on a Bengals O-line that is not very good. They can certainly be beat. So Chaz mentioned the game earlier this year. The final score is 32-13. It looked like an absolute blowout, but if you look at the box score, the yardages were almost equal. It was 16-13 with 5 minutes left in the game. Certainly plays into the undercard as well. I agree that Zach Taylor, I don't expect him to have some sort of game plan that really gets these receivers and offense going, even though they kind of had a bye week. I really would be all over the Raiders if last week was – it's just such a situationally – it's a bad spot for the Raiders here, considering it's a short week. They're off an emotional win. And the Bengals got pretty much a whole week of rest to rest their players. But I still just think the line is too big. And then one other thing that's a little bit in my head is I don't know how 100% Joe Burrow is. I mean, the last we saw him is he went out off the field against the Chiefs, and then didn't come back in. Then he got a week off. I'm sure he's okay, but against the Raiders defensive line, that's going to give him absolute hell. If he has any sort of knee problem, that's going to be moving throughout the pocket, it's going to be, it has to be an advantage for the Raiders. So end of the day, I'm going to be on the Raiders. If I can get a +6, I really like it. 5.5, I'll probably take it. But I think they're definitely live for the upset as well. And then I am with you on the under. And then it's also a fade against Zach Taylor. We don't think Zach Taylor is very good. I forget the Raiders head coach as well.
Rich Bisaccia.
Like, I mean, it's neither of these coaches really impressed me, and really, I'm really expecting an offensive shootout between either team.
I will say the one thing about the Raiders is I think they made like a really good call hiring, like, what was he, like the offensive line coach?
I think special teams.
Something like that. You might be right, actually. Because it seems like he doesn't get super involved in game planning, and he just lets the offensive coordinator do his thing and the defensive coordinator do his thing. And I honestly, that just kind of felt like the best course of action midseason. So I don't feel like he's like meddling too much, which is a good sign. Zach Taylor on the other hand, their team is way better when Joe Burrow is in control of like play calling and stuff, which I think that's very, very glaring to see. So I'm rooting for Zach Taylor taking control this weekend. And I think that will show as an increase in balance for my betting account. So looking forward to this game. I'm actually thinking it should be pretty competitive too. So should be a good, good game to kick off the AFC wild card weekend. And moving on to Saturday night, you've got the AFC North, or is it AFC East?
East.
East. AFC East matchup with the New England Patriots taking on, playing at Buffalo, taking on the Bills, where the Bills are laying 4, and the total is sitting at 44. Austin, kick us off. Where are we looking here?
If you're going to give me over a field goal, I think I have to take Patriots and Bill Belichick. I mean, I'm looking at this Bills team, and I mean, James made an interesting point a couple weeks ago, just about how this could be the Super Bowl team, especially after that great win they had against the Pats. But like, I look at these last 2 weeks and they've struggled against two bottom feeders in the Falcons and the Jets. I think they've covered in both games, or might've been one was a push, but like late in the third quarter, they struggled in these games. And then like this Bills team, like they still don't have a reliable running game. They're relying on Josh Allen to make all of these plays. So I look at this Bills Patriots game, the second game they played, where it was a 12-point win. It was a great win. They outgained them by like 150 yards. But at the same time, like this was a very close game late into that game. Patriots had it a 5-point game, and the Bills just continued to convert long conversion or big important down after important down. And that's just not very sustainable. And there was also a pick six in there that the Josh Allen threw a pass to the Patriots and they dropped a pick and they easily could have housed it. So there was just so many little plays in that game that went the Bills' way. And that's football. That's going to happen in any case. But my point is that I think these two teams are just so close. And if you're going to give me over a field goal, because I think this is going to be a field goal game, I'm going to take it. And I'm going to trust in Bill. And even though this is Mac Jones' first career playoff start, I did just make fun of Joe Burrow being Big Dick Burrow, but Mac Jones has played in like an NCAA tournament before, championship before. So maybe that experience counts, but at the same time, this is his first career playoff start. I'm going to trust in New England and trust his team that I think they can keep it to a field goal and definitely possibly win this.
I totally agree. I certainly lean Patriots over field goal. It's Bill Belichick. Especially for a third time playing this team, like he gets like another crack at like a team he's already played twice. I think that's a really good sign. I think that, and we were kind of talking earlier because I told you I really want to bet an over, but I feel like I've kind of like, because you alluded to the fact that the Patriots only scored 7 points in the first half and they started out pretty slow. That made me think that maybe like, wait and see if they do start out slow and then go for a second half over, because I think, you know, you give Mac Jones a half to kind of get a little bit more comfortable and, you know, and Josh McDaniels and Belichick can kind of, you know, make some adjustments. I also think that McDermott on his own is also very good at adjusting, and Dable's an equally good a coordinator. So I kind of think that they will be able to, you know, put up points in this game. I always have a belief that a predominant running team will have success against the Bills defense just because of the way it's set up. You know, they have a bunch of DBs. They play a bunch of DBs. And so that's just ultimately, unless your D-line is dominating up front, then you're going to have a more difficult time stopping the run. I mean, that was like our argument for the Colts, right? We wanted a cold weather game where the Colts could just run Jonathan Taylor down like a team like the Bills or the Chiefs' throat. And I think that we might be able to get that with the Patriots. I think some of their running backs could go nuts. In the Kansas City Chiefs game, there was a rushing prop that I really liked, but I'll see, just kind of look at, cause it's the most rushing yards for the weekend. I'm curious what like your Damian Harris would be. 14-1. Don't want it. Go ahead.
Looking at their other matchup, it appears that they were also missing some running backs in their game. Damian Harris was there, but they definitely rely on Stevenson quite a bit. He wasn't playing in that game. I'm sure he'll be playing. Sorry to our Buffalo listeners, but I would hate to live there. It is going to be so cold.
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be like 5 degrees when kickoff hits. It's just a cloudy night, no snow or anything. It's a little wind, but like 8 miles per hour.
It's just going to be freezing.
Yeah. And that just has to favor the running team. I mean, it just has to favor the Bills give up the run too. They want you to run the ball on their defense. I like that angle of looking at Damian Harris. 14-1 is not that bad.
No, it's not. Oh, and like, even I feel like Ramondre Stevenson is like a little bit of a home run threat. He's 40-1. So, he breaks off a couple big ones and he'll get, 10, 11, 12 carries. But he's also used pretty often on the goal line. But it's all I got here. Any chance the Patriots can run through the AFC?
As a Titans backer, no. But yes, absolutely. When you have Bill Belichick and you have him mastermind under, and I think really like any team is live to win this AFC except probably the Steelers. This AFC is beatable, and you can pick apart any of these teams. They all have their own little weakness. Mm-hmm. So I do think the Patriots are live. One thing I want to say is we still haven't quite seen it. And we're again, not going to see it again this week. We've only seen one game where the Bills have been exposed for not having Tre'Davious White. And that was against the Bucks.
Yes.
And they still haven't faced anyone and it won't be again this week. If they play the Chiefs next week, I don't know how the hell they're going to stop that the Chiefs receiving core, especially if Tyreek Hill is healthy. So that'll be definitely something to monitor. And that could make for a pretty good matchup next week.
What will that line be next week? Chiefs 3.5.
Yeah, probably. They probably won't make it 3.
Yeah.
At Kansas City. What was it earlier this year?
Was it at Buffalo?
It was at Kansas City. It was 3. And that was when the Chiefs were 2-2 and Bills were 4-3-1.
And then the Bills kicked the absolute shit out of them.
Yeah, so you could say the Chiefs probably a little upgraded. I mean, the line will probably depend a little bit what happens this week. I mean, if the Chiefs just demolish the Steelers and the Bills barely get by the Pats, we might see a 3.5-4 for sure.
That's a good point. Yeah, good call. Sunday, the Eagles traveling to Tampa Bay where the Bucks are laying 8.5. Total is 46. Jalen Hurts, first playoff start. Tom Brady, his 1 millionth, so it seems. I have the Bucks in an open teaser. There's just no other game I really want to tease. Maybe the Niners are sitting at +3, +100, but I think that is by design. That would be the only other game I would really want to tease. And I probably won't. I kind of like, my gut says the Eagles, just like they are able to garbage time score, keep it close. I do like this over. I think 46 is too low. I know that the Bucks are super banged up on offense, at least at the skill positions, but is Leonard Fournette supposed to be back this week?
He came back to practice. He should be back.
Okay. So I think that's a huge boost, just at whether it's out of the backfield catching passes or in just like what he's just a very physical runner. So I think that's pretty big. And then I think the Eagles offense is good and the Bucks rushing defense has struggled. Levante David has been limited in practice, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But You were telling me earlier that there's no guarantee he's going to play, which that's a huge loss, not only for his pass rushing ability, but he's also good against the run. And in the last 5 weeks, this is courtesy of James, who looked it up. Well, let me see. The Bucs rushing defense has been giving up 4.85 yards per carry the last five games, and that would put them 31st in the league if you projected that out all season. And then on top of that, they've been very bad at allowing successful quarterback runs, which that's like, this is just kind of like a recipe for disaster a little bit. So I do think the Eagles might be able to move the ball. If pressure is taken out of Jalen Hurts' hands and they're able to put together a couple drives where they're just able to, get first downs by running the ball, and then it kind of gives Jalen Hurts an easier field to pick apart coverage, then I do think that the Eagles are kind of live here. That being said, it's Tom Brady, and he just wins these games. So what are your thoughts here?
So my bet here, it's not the over, but close to it. I want to bet a live over.
Okay.
These two teams have started very slow. Ooh, just to begin right. Their games in the last couple of weeks. The Eagles particularly, and definitely the Bucs the last couple of weeks. If we have a first quarter that's 3-7 or 7-0 or just something low scoring, I'm definitely going to be jumping on a live over for the reasons that you mentioned. I do think these offenses can score. But I'm thinking of, I think my side would be to lay with the Bucs. Okay.
I don't blame you for that.
Yeah. This Eagles secondary, I just think can be beat. And when they do have a good defensive line, but the Bucs negate that with a great offensive line where Tom's going to have time in the pocket and he should be able to attack this Eagles secondary with a receiving core that looked better last week. They looked more together, especially as the game went on. And then I keep looking back at this matchup earlier in the year where I had the Eagles. I cannot believe it, but they covered in that game. The Bucs dominated that game, and they won the yardage battle by like 200 yards. And they easily could have covered by a lot more, scored a lot more. They decided to knee it when they were on like the Eagles 5 yard line. But this is a game where, he needs to start getting rolling. I don't even know if a backdoor they want to allow a backdoor in this type of game. And I look at this Eagles team where you look at who they've beat. They've beat no one. Their best win this season is Trevor Siemian and the Saints. That's really the best win that they've had. And when they play a good team, they lose. So I can't possibly back the Eagles here this week. So I'll be on the Bucs. I'll trust in Tom. I love the teaser leg. I do not make open teaser legs very often, but I can't find another leg for this week. I think that's a tremendous play. So right now I'm seeing a 9 on my screen, but shop around, look for 8.5 and tease that down.
One thing I will add is, it's just kind of with the theme, the injury issues the Bucs have faced all season. But Mike Evans was upgraded, but Cyril Grayson, who's actually played really well the last couple of weeks and gotten a fair amount of targets, he was the recipient of the go-ahead touchdown that Brady threw against the Jets. He did not participate. I hear his hamstring last week, and just more attrition to that receiving depth is just not good. And I do think that is one thing that could certainly start this game off slow and can provide us the little opportunity that we need for a live over. I do like that ankle. It's a good call. Niners getting 3 points at Jerry's World, taking on the Cowboys. Total is, I believe, highest of the week, 51. Yes, it is. I don't know what to think. Help me out here. Are you a Niners guy just for your future, or what are your thoughts on the number?
Honestly, I think the number's pretty right. I bet the future. That's all I'm going to have. That's the only action I'll have on this. I think the number should be 3. I'm still a believer in this Niners team, as I mentioned before, how much better they're looking when they're healthy with Jimmy G and Kittle on the field. They also attack the middle of the field quite a bit, and the Cowboys have struggled against tight ends, so I do think Kittle's going to have a day. He could be a good prop guy. I don't know. This Cowboys team is tough. When they play a team that like is a step up in class, they seem to lose, where they play the Chiefs, they play the Cardinals, even the Raiders game, they lose those games. And they beat up on the shitty NFC East teams that they play and the other NFC East teams that they play. I mean, I think they have all the talent there in the world, and they easily, this should be a Super Bowl team, especially way their defense, DVOA wise is better. They're opportunistic. They make plays. Their offense has all the talent in the world, excluding injured Gallup. They have the pieces to make it happen, and they kind of just don't. I don't know what it is. They aren't beating the teams, the good teams. They're skating by the bad teams. I mean, they are beating the shit out of some teams, but it's just a matter of, can they get it all clicking this week? And through 18 weeks this season, I just can't confidently say that the Cowboys are going to confidently put everything together this week. So I'm going to ride with the Niners, who I think they're the hot team. I think their offense is rolling. I think their defense is healthy. I love that they're getting secondary pieces back. And I'm not going to personally bet the +3 because I think that's a good number. But I'd love the future bet. But I don't hate the money line play as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's looking like Trent Williams practiced today, which would be a huge boost, especially good with what the Cowboys can do off the edge, whether it's Lawrence, Gregory, Micah Parsons, whatever. It's also a huge piece of their run game. Like he, and this is quarterback included, he might be their most valuable player, which is an insane thing to say when it's you're comparing that to a quarterback. And I mean, of course, Debo's there too. But what Trent Williams does is like indescribable almost, just because of the holes he opens up and just what he does in pass protection. It's truly a massive difference maker. And when you combine that with the fact that the Cowboys might not be able to cause as much havoc up front, then maybe we see Trevon Diggs get burned a whole lot more than he is able to make plays. However, it is Jimmy G. And I mean, Jimmy G played well last weekend, so I will give credit to him there. But he also had his stupid, idiotic, terrible bonehead throws that he's good for like 2 or 3 game. And for a defense like the Cowboys, I think that's very dangerous just because of their ability to make plays. And that could turn this game on its head a little bit. And if the Cowboys get out to an early lead, I don't know. And I know we saw the Niners come back last week, but let's not pretend like the Niners are known for making huge comebacks in games, because like they're just the way their offense is set up. Jimmy G throwing the ball is not what they want to do. So I'm interested to see how it plays out. I think this is the most interesting game of the weekend. So excited to watch this one. Any thoughts on the total? My initial thought was it's a little high.
Yeah, especially with the Niners relying on the run, clock's moving. I don't know. I'm kind of staying away. I am looking at the injury report, and Elijah Mitchell didn't practice Wednesday, but he was back today, Thursday. Mm-hmm. So that's a good sign.
I think he did that last week, too. Like a rest day. Steelers, Chiefs. Chiefs are lane 13. That seems like teaser protection, though. I guess it's +100. Total is 46. I like the over in this. 46 feels really low, and we already saw the Chiefs just quite literally get whatever they wanted on the Steelers. The Steelers defense is not good. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I think they have talented pieces like T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, but no, they're not good.
And like they're terrible against the run, which doesn't quite make sense to me when they have Cam Hayward and, you know, TJ Watt and all these good players. And it's just like, just really easy to pass on them too. And so this was the prop that I was alluding to. So I bet most of the rushing yards of during the weekend for Darrell Williams, it was 30-1. Clyde didn't practice today. And you made a great point. That Tyreek Hill is banged up, so maybe they are likely to be leading for a while too. So maybe they just go kind of conservative towards like in the second half. They just start running the ball a lot. The Steelers' rush defense is not good though. They give up a bunch of like 10+ yard running plays, which I think is if I can get Darrell Williams explosive runs, I'm very happy about my bet. And I think that. I mean, I want to bet an over, but the Steelers offense is so bad. And when the opponent knows that you're either going to run the ball or throw it 2 yards from the line of scrimmage, it's very easy to defend. And I know, like, Big Ben will drop back and just uncork one deep sometimes. And I mean, honestly, like, I feel like they're always really successful just because no one is expecting it. So he's going to have to go 4 for 4 on those, and all 4 will be touchdowns if they want to win this game. I don't think that their defense will keep them in it at all. And guys, and I made this joke to Austin earlier. This might be like the sky's falling season for Patrick Mahomes, and he's still very confidently having like that second or third best statistical season of the year. So it's, I'm not going to make the argument that the Chiefs are undervalued in the spot because they're laying 13 in a playoff game, but I do think that that's, the Steelers are going to have a hard time stopping them at all. So I am looking at the Chiefs. Actually, no, I bet the Chiefs minus 13, and I'm going to bet an over too. So Austin, what do you think?
I don't necessarily, what do you think about Chiefs team total over instead? I mean, just the, my fear about the over is just trusting that Steelers offense. I mean, our number would be 30-18, like 29.5. I mean, it'd be under 30.
23.7. I mean, it'd be around 30. Like 29.5 is a good call.
I mean, I think the Steel, if you can get under 30, I feel like I'd prefer that just to bank on the Chiefs scoring. But then my other fear is, do they just sit on it in that second half? But I don't know. We've seen them explode out the gate in a couple playoff games.
I'll counter you one. Chiefs first half team total.
Yeah, I could get on that. Where, I mean, that'd be under 17.
It'll probably be like 14.5, 16.5.
Yeah. Yeah. I could be on that. Yeah. I mean, they also had an extra day to prepare.
I don't think that's, they didn't even know who they were playing yet. So I don't think that's super important.
My fear of the Steelers team is, one, they play great as a dog. Which you have a good counter, which I'd like you to add in a second. But Mike Tomlin is tremendous in this dog role. He's still a tremendous coach. I actually kind of like the quotes that are coming out of Pittsburgh where they're kind of just playing dead, completely just giving up, saying like, oh, they're projected to beat us by 20 points. Like, they're going to kill us. We're just going to go out there and have fun. I don't know. Part of me kind of likes that, just to know that, like, you are the underdog, and that's who the Steelers are. That's who this gritty bunch wants to play as. And to one comment, so yes, I would agree with you that the Steelers defense sucks. I don't want to stretch as far as say they sucks, but they certainly can be beat, especially when they play a good offense. But they have the players that can make it a game. Like, TJ Watt can just have the game of his life and can keep this game close. Minkah Fitzpatrick can make a big play or two to have momentum building plays. And that's really the only way that the Steelers cover and be in this game is if those two guys are balling. Regardless, I would lean the Chiefs way. I'm going to stay away from this game, period. And I kind of like the over angle just from the Kansas City side, just because I would love to bank that Kansas City is going to score and do what they want at will. Tyreek Hill injury scares me a little bit, but I'm assuming he's going to give it a go.
Yeah, I think I saw they practice today. I don't know for sure. But yeah, my counter to that would just be that it's a playoff game. And I feel like normally in the Tomlin as a big dog spots, it's not in the playoffs. It's like during the middle of the regular season. So like that's where you could see like a staunch motivational edge where a really good team might just be going through the motions. The Kansas City Chiefs will not be going through the motions here. And I mean, it's a playoff game and they need to win. So I could argue that they might not be going for margin if they have, you know, if Chad Henne is playing, most of the fourth quarter. But I mean, if it looks anything like the last one, I think that it could be, you know, equally as ugly. So, all right. Seven games. I for some reason I thought there'd be like one more, but that
no six games.
Oh yeah, you're right. Wow, I'm awful at counting.
Chilling Saturday.
The Cardinals Monday night. You're going to this game.
I am. I can't wait.
At SoFi Stadium, taking on the Los Angeles Rams. Rams laying 4. Total is at 49.5. All right, you're going to the game. Where, so, and I know you're going to have some kind of ticket in your pocket. What are you thinking?
I am. Well, since James isn't here, I will bring up the stat. The Rams in the last 10 matchups versus the Cardinals have won 9 of them. There's just some about the NFC West where McVay owns the Cardinals. The Niners kind of own the Rams. And they just all kind of just go vice versa and play against each other very well. And this is one of those where the Rams just play very well against the Cardinals historically. I want to back them. I mean, I think I'd love if it was a field goal. I kind of hate that it's 4, but I still will take the Rams here. I am not very impressed with this Cardinals secondary. I think they can be beat. And I think this Rams receiving core and Cooper Kupp, and they will, it's relying on Stafford, and that's the biggest issue with them. But I think they can beat this Cardinals secondary and they can move the ball as they want. But then the biggest point for me here is just fading Cliff Kingsbury. And I have been a big advocate that I don't think Cliff Kingsbury is very good. I think he's had tremendous success with this Cardinals team the last 2 years, just winning games. But when it's a close game, they lose. And when they need like important decisions and there's a big play to make with 2 minutes left in the game, it's usually the wrong play. And I can just see this with many different cases. It seems like it happens all the time when it's a close game. When they're up like 10 or so, they do well. But when it's an underdog role here and they're down and there, it's a close in the fourth quarter, I just don't really trust Cliff. And that's where I'm going to really take the Rams and really take McVay, who has so much success against this team. The more I talk, I'm kind of considering just taking Rams money line and throwing it in a parlay with someone with another team.
Bucks.
Just because. Yeah. Now we're talking. Just because I can see this game being very close. It is an NFC West game. This is the third matchup between the two teams where they usually just makes for a closer division game, especially when both these teams are so good. But I'm going to lean the Rams way. I'm going to really take the money line. And I'll kick it to you.
You know what? Screw it. I think the Cardinals win.
Whoa.
I think we're going to bet Cardinals money line. I just can't get the vision of Matt Stafford out of my head. And what he does is he takes unnecessary risks and just makes shitty passes. And they get picked off by DBs and linebackers. He's going to have Chandler Jones down his breathing down his neck all game. And with like the pressure that like the Cardinals defense cooks up, which I think they do a very good job of, like using Isaiah Simmons to make plays and all that, going up against a good secondary like the Cardinals, I think could pause a bunch of issues. And if they are in a position where the Rams are in need of a play, like they have no one's going to stop Cooper Kupp, but they have a good enough corner to slow down Cooper Kupp. And then, like, you've got great safety help over the top as well. I understand your issues with Cliff. I kind of feel the same way. But I think the great equalizer is Kyler Murray and what he's able to do. And it's healthy Kyler Murray. And, like, this is the guy I want to back. And I think that going into the playoffs, there's one undervalued team, and I think it's the Cardinals. Because they're, 1-4 in their last 5 games? I think now would be a great time to buy in. I think 4 points is too much. This should be a close game. And I think Cardinals are able to score enough. No, DeAndre Hopkins obviously sucks, but I'm not impressed with this Rams team, and I would very much like to fade them. And this is how I'm going to do it.
Okay, here's my rebuttal. I've changed my stance on this game. I'm upset with the NFL that we got this matchup, because I'm looking at these teams. I want to fade both of these teams. Like I hear you on the Cardinals side. I hear you on the fading the Rams side and fading Matthew Stafford side. So I look at these last 4 games for the Rams. So Matt Stafford had a tremendous game against the Cardinals. That was Monday Night Football 4 weeks ago. Actually a whole month ago. I really fell in love with Stafford that night. I thought it was tremendous, but I'm also the Stafford hater, and I've talked about it for the last 2 or 3 years. I think he's pretty overrated.
Yeah.
And like, this is my chance to fade him. And like, I look at these last 4 games and like, They put up 20 points against Seattle. Good win. But he had 3 picks against Minnesota. He had only 20 points against the Ravens, where Stafford looked like shit in that game. He had 2 interceptions. And you look at last week, like 2 picks, they got outgained to the Niners by 250 yards or 200 yards. This Rams offense doesn't look very good. And should they be favored by 4 points against a division foe? Probably not. But then, like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to take the Cardinals. And like, I hear what you're saying with the Cardinals are undervalued, especially with Kyler being healthy, but being 1-4 in your last 5 games, losing to the Lions in that stretch. I can't back this Cardinals team either, especially last week where they had the chance to win the division if they beat that Seattle team. And from the second I started watching that game, I felt like Seattle had it. And I know it is a division matchup, and Seattle also owns the Cardinals. It's just kind of how it works. I don't know. I am now just upset that we got this matchup because I wish we could fade both teams.
I agree.
I think I'll decide to fade the winner.
That's reasonable.
But how about this? Since we don't want to watch, root for a team.
I do want to watch this game. I think it'll be very competitive.
I know. And I'm saying we don't want to. We're struggling to pick a team. What about the total?
I lean under because, like, I do understand. I think that the Cardinals do have a defensive edge here, where I think that they're going to be able to kind of contain and slow down the Rams offense. And I mean, you do have a point. It's Cliff Kingsbury, it's not like the Ravens offense is bad. I mean, like, what are they in DVOA? Pull this up right now.
You said Ravens? You mean Rams?
Sorry. Cardinals. Okay. Wrong bird. Well, the Cardinals offense is 15th in DVOA, but okay. I'm going to choose to ignore that. It goes to my under point, I guess.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know, man. It's unfortunate that this is like the last prime. I mean, they're all standalone, but it's unfortunate this is the last one because I know I'm going to bet on it. Like, this is just how it goes. And
yeah, I,
yeah. Well, no, I don't know. I just, 4 feels like too much. And feel like there could be like fluky plays by the Rams just brought upon by Matthew Stafford. And I think that's, you know, enough to at least keep it close or, you know, maybe tilt it towards the Cardinals early or something like that. So for now, I'll say I lean Cardinals +4, but you're right. So are these 5-4 seeds?
Yeah.
Five or four?
Yeah. Yeah.
So winner plays the Cowboys or the Bucks?
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping for the Niners, but yes. So we'll assume,
that's why I said Bucks.
Yeah. So we'll assume if the Cowboys win, it would be the Packers. Oh. Yeah. I'd love to fade.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
I'd love the Packers in that game. We've
talked about this. Oh, wait. Did we talk about it? Because the Rams-Packers game at Lambeau, Rams got all that money to close. Oh, but that's 2 teams I want to fade again. That's not good for me. Gosh, dang it. Okay. And then I guess I have to root for Cardinals-Packers. But I don't want to bet them either.
No, I don't.
All right. I'm in a bit of a pickle here.
So one thing I want to say with the under, I want to take the under as well. Being that these 2 teams have a lot of familiarity with each other, having this being their 3rd game. I think there's added pressure on both of these quarterbacks. Wouldn't be surprised if it's just a little safer game plan to start, especially maybe from Stafford's side. Stafford, this is his first playoff game in like 5 or 6 years. I think he's only played in 1 or 2. And then Kyler, is this Kyler's first playoff game?
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's still a rookie quarterback in his first playoff start. I mean, I could see just a slow starting game. But my fear is I look at these 2 matchups that already happened in the year. And one of the games, I think, had 57 points, the other at 53. And there could have been even more. These 2 teams combined for only 7 punts on 36 drives. And Arizona scored a touchdown to reach the Rams' 15-yard line on 10 of their 19 drives in those 2 games. So clearly in those 2 games, both offenses were clicking. They had the defense's number. I wasn't exactly impressed with that Rams defense last week. The Niners were pretty much able to move it at will. It's fun. I really don't understand how that was only a 3-point game, because then the Niners had almost had 500 yards of yardage. So I'm pretty mixed, but we have to have a bet on this game. I'm with you. Fuck. I don't know. First touchdown props.
Yeah, I guess. It's tough. It's tough, but that is the NFL playoffs. You will not be able to make a whole lot of money. Is there any like wild card weekend prop? Maybe like lowest scoring game or something like that? No, but like they won't be that low scoring. So that's a bad bet.
Yeah.
Passing yards, maybe? Rushing yards?
You're saying in that game?
Just like for most of the weekend. This one's got Kyler Murray plus 950, Matthew Stafford plus 500. For most passing yards of the weekend. Running backs.
I think
Kyler Murray feels kind of solid, but
I would like that Kyler number.
Especially with like all these weather games and like Tom Brady's the favorite as he should be, but I mean, if they have an early, like I feel like they could
sit on it.
Yeah, or at least play more slowly, like towards the end of the game too. So
even Niners Cowboys could be a pretty, I mean, Dak could have a lot.
Yeah, but their Niners defense has been good. They're getting a lot healthier.
And the secondary is getting back. Yep, you're right.
Derek Carr in a cold weather game. Joe Burrow in a cold weather game. I mean, Mahomes might not even play the fourth if it's anything like the last game. I mean, that's the first six guys right there. And then it's Kyler Murray. So, yeah. Actually, I think I might bet that. Kyler Murray most passing yards plus 950. Stafford's plus 500 too. But I mean, it's the same thing with McVay where – like he has the lead and it's just run first down, run second down. And it's just, and like, that's just kind of how he comes out of halves, I guess. But running backs, jumping off the page, Sony Michel. Yes. Daryl Williams. And I love
and,
that.
And Damien Harris. I mean, those are two really good.
Good call. All right. And you know, we would do this every time, every weekend last offseason postseason for the NFL pods. Your Super Bowl matchup. Who beats who?
I'm going to stick with what I had. I think I had Chiefs Packers. I will stick with it.
Gosh dang it. You know what?
That's too easy. I mean, that would be my gun to my head.
Okay. Well, yeah, this is what it is. Is what we did. Gun to a head and a hot take. That's what we
Yeah, so my hot take would be Titans Niners.
Okay. Gun to my head. I'm actually going to switch. I'm going to pull the rabbit out, hat. I'm going to go Chiefs Bucks for a rematch. There's something off about the Packers team. I know they're getting healthy. I know they're getting better, but they're just playing so many close games. So, and I think if the Niners win, that's a bad, bad matchup for them.
Yep. And I would like the Chiefs in the Bucks rematch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then hot take. I'll go ahead and say Cowboys beat. No, because I don't actually think that. I just want them to get there. hot take. And this is, it'll be a little spicy, but I'll go Eagles Titans.
Wow. Titans win. Oh my God.
Titans win.
That Super Bowl sounds awful. I would hate to see that.
No way. The dog masks versus Vrabel. Come on. So much grit in that. Wow. That game would be over. Like the commercials would not be able to handle that because it'd just be run.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be awful.
That's pretty funny.
All righty. Wild card weekend coming soon. It's so much quicker without a third person. It's pretty crazy. Go check out Austin's work on East Village Times for our San Diego State Aztec fans or just San Diego sports fans in general. He's been writing a bunch of SDSU Aztec content. He's credentialed. He's on the court side, so good for you, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Of course. Austin. Shout out your Twitter real quick.
@_ATark. But let's also shout out, obviously, the Sharp Side's Twitter, at the Sharp Side Pod.
Of course.
That is a must follow, especially because you guys keep tweeting out good college basketball plays.
Oh, we are on a roll. We are on a roll indeed. At least I am. I'm feeling good right now. The confidence is flowing through me. I'm about to tweet a couple more. I will probably ignore the 4 o'clock games just so it's out for people to bet a little bit longer. But yes, and of course, go rate, review, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts. And you can now rate our podcast on Spotify now. So if you are listening there, please go do so, or just do both if you haven't. It would mean a lot. It would mean the world to me. And anything you think we missed and you want to call us stupid, DM us, tweet at us. We want to hear it. Always appreciate hearing from you guys. I apologize for the bumpy schedule the last month or so, but it's playoff time. I'm going to get college hoops rolling. I'm excited. This is a great time of year. Austin, any interest in doing golf stuff with me?
Possibly. We'll see how our schedules work, especially big tournaments. I could be down.
Yeah, sounds good. Alrighty. For the Sharp Side Podcast, it's been fun. Austin, what are we doing this super wild card weekend?
Let's go win some money.
Let's do it. Thanks, guys.